temperature's rising. Fever is high. Can't see no future. Can't see no sky. My feet are so heavy. So is my head. I wish I was a baby.
Say Hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:32. You're listening to Say Hey right here on KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, and today I'm joined by Jarrow. Jarrow, how are you?
What's happening, Jake? Thanks for having me.
Thanks
Always
for being
a
here.
Pleasure, my man.
Noobs was at High Sierra all weekend, and needless to say, he is recovering.
Right.
Yes, and that's okay. Everybody needs a day. And I had a great weekend. I was in Oakland for Burger Boogaloo. So I saw about 20 wonderful bands, some of my very favorite.
Nice.
Jarrow, you were in Tahoe, yeah?
I had a blast, got to see some of my best of friends, and yeah, just very relaxing.
And it rained in Tahoe.
It rained all day Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. What's that like?
It was weird. It was really weird. I haven't seen rain in a while.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And yesterday was a big-time sports day, big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough, having been at this festival, you know, I wasn't anywhere near any sort of sports as music all day long, but my folks taped the World Cup final for me, and I managed to get home last night without having known anything about it, watched the whole game, caught myself up fresh. And that was incredible, was it not?
That is quite the accomplishment to somehow check out and not know what was going on at all.
I'm not talking about my accomplishment. I'm talking about...
I think that's...
You think
just,
mine is incredible as well, not
it's
knowing?
It's equally impressive.
Okay, well, thank you, Jarrow. Thank you very much. If you didn't know, and you probably do, the U.S. women have defeated Japan 5-2 in a rout. And it was an exciting 5-2. It was not just like one goal here, one goal there. It was an explosion right out of the gates. I believe the first goal came within the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was under 2 minutes.
Under two minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like bang, bang, bang. And Carly Lloyd basically becomes an American sporting legend,
right,
in the blink of an eye. Obviously, she was already having an incredible tournament. But when you rip off a hat trick in the first 16 minutes of the World Cup final,
yeah,
you become somebody. That's the fastest hat trick, I believe, in men's or women's,
yep,
World Cup finals history, the
mm-hmm.
first since 1966.
Yeah, something like that.
It was just incredible to watch. And I was up out of my chair at midnight watching for the first time. Where did you watch, Jarrow?
I was actually at my girlfriend's folks' house, and the awesome thing is it was pretty much all men,
uh-huh,
in there piled around the TV, and you could tell there's just this sense of anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was actually, I mean, everyone I was watching with, my girlfriend's family, is hardcore Giants fans.
Uh-huh.
And even when the Giants game started, we didn't switch over.
No.
We waited till the, yeah, women's final was done before,
absolutely,
we switched
and,
over. So
we'll touch on the ratings and what it means,
sure,
here in a bit. And but you know what? I was so excited watching last night, and one of my biggest thrills watching soccer is I like the calls. I like the big calls because,
oh, yeah,
you know, when you do get a goal, let alone four as it turned out to be in the first 16 minutes,
right,
you know, that's thrilling. The, you know, goals are rare in mm-hmm. soccer, as we all know, more rare than goals in the NHL. And so the broadcasters, to me, play a big part of the excitement.
Absolutely.
And, I thought the call on Fox was good. But I immediately thought, I want to seek out Telemundo. I want to see what Andres Cantor had to say, because he's my favorite. And I found it today. And right now, we've got all four of those first initial goals from the first 16 minutes lined up in a row.
Nice.
And we're just going to let Andres Cantor do his thing, because he's the man. And this is just as good as it gets. Now, pay attention. I don't speak Spanish well at all. But you can, obviously, even if you don't, you can make out the names of each individual goal scorer, and three of the four of them are Carly Lloyd.
Right.
And I would say, please wait around for the fourth goal especially, which is one of his great calls ever in one of the great World Cup soccer moments of all time. So without further ado, it's going to be Andres Cantor, all four of the first four goals in a row. This is what it sounded like.
Vino, candidata, la jugadora más valiosa, vino para... Para este nuevo tiro libre y vino otra vez por abajo de taco, cae en el área chica, viene gol. Con Tobin Heath, Morgan espera sola en el área, es eficiente el despeje de cabeza, viene gol.
Unidos.
Y otro regalo, Carly Lloyd, desde la mitad de la cancha, viene, viene, ¡gol!
That might be the greatest thing I've ever done on this program before.
Oh, man, that was incredible.
Doesn't get any better than that. Are on the sure? field or in the booth, that's the best.
That was amazing. Are you sure there are only four goals scored?
I'm pretty sure that was only four goals. And for the record, he goaled Carly Lloyd's fourth goal for about 40 seconds.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so that's the kind of event it was. And they wind up winning 5-2. Japan did make it 4-2. Not that that felt close, but, you know, they added the fifth goal, and that was pretty much all she wrote. And the numbers are in. This was a huge television event. And 25 million, over 25 million people watched yesterday, which is more than any game in the NBA Finals this go-round, which was a record-setting NBA Finals. It was more than any NHL Finals game, obviously. It's the highest-watched, most-watched soccer game in U.S. history. It's up a huge percentage from the 2011 finals, same matchup. And I think it really puts to rest this myth that Americans aren't interested in A, soccer, or B, women's sports, because neither of those things are true. And, and most of us know that anyway. But, you know, you just can't deny the interest in soccer or women's sports. And I think when you've got the men's and women's World Cup alternating every 2 years, that's you're looking at huge television events every other year for the sport, just like you would for, you know, the Super Bowl happens once a year. Obviously, that's a league of its own. But you can count on this being a big deal every 2 years now, men's and women's.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers, I know that people listening couldn't see my face, but as you were telling me those numbers, my jaw was dropping. Each number was more and more shocking. I mean, I knew it was a big deal. I knew for me personally, just my personal interest in soccer has, you know, increased exponentially. And I think in general, over the last 10 years, I think the biggest change in sports in our society at large is this seismic change in interest towards soccer. And it seems like, you know, with the way it's gaining popularity currently, we're going to have a whole new generation of young athletes, maybe forgoing baseball, maybe forgoing, you know, sports like football, certainly.
Football is the one that'll lose the most with all the continuous head trauma stuff.
Right, and it just, I mean, it's been interesting to watch, and, you know, I think it's about time. I mean, soccer is a great sport. It's the first sport many of us begin playing when we're kids.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, when you're reading those numbers, man, I mean.
Because it's like, you know, I don't know if that means anything for, you know, MLS type stuff, because, you know, one thing that Americans are used to, whether it's men or women's sports, is we're used to having the kind of cream of the crop of any athletic league, so to speak, be like based out of America, or America having this huge thing. And the MLS is not the same quality as the international leagues. So I don't know if that means that we're going to have huge ratings for the MLS anytime soon, but you can count on international soccer of whatever variety. That's here to stay.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if it's men's or women's. That's like, you can count on that at this point. And it's fun to watch. I mean, I don't want to hear from anybody anymore about how it's like a running gag, because it's not.
No.
It's a big deal.
It really is. And I think, you know, the fact that a women's game was the most viewed soccer game, U.S. soccer game, is, I mean, that just speaks to the progress. I will say, just to play devil's advocate here, it does make it easy that you're rooting for USA national team the day after 4th of July.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, the numbers leading up to it, I mean, we're already
still monsters.
I mean,
it was building.
It was coming to a head. And just a smashing success. So congratulations to the Women's World Cup team. Super cool stuff. We'll move on here on Say Hey. Talk a little baseball real quick. Giants dropped their sixth straight, a.k.a. the entire road trip, which was awful. If it's not one thing, it's the other lately. If they're not hitting, they're not pitching. If they're not pitching, they're not hitting.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. They're just not winning.
And I don't like to wake up that early to watch baseball and then watch us lose like that.
Yeah. Those games in Washington were dreadful. And, you know, they've been so streaky all season. I mean, these five-game win streaks, six-game losing streaks. Eventually, the losing streaks are going to catch up with you way more than the little winning streaks are going to help you gain.
Agreed.
Because you just can't count on other teams playing badly when you're playing badly.
Right, and what we were doing in May was not, I didn't feel was sustainable. I was hoping it was the sign of good things to come. And, I mean, who knows? It you know, may well still very be that way. We may have a great finish to the season after the All-Star break. But, man, lately it's really hard to have any confidence. But
no, and they need to get healthy on offense. And, I mean, I don't know what to make of the pitching staff. It's just kind of, who knows what you're going to get night in and night out, aside from Bumgarner usually giving you a quality start.
Right.
PV and Kane are both back, but, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen there.
Right, and Vogelsong has a great outing, and then the very next one has a terrible one.
Yep. They're one game over 500, which is ultimately where we kind of figured they would be.
Yeah.
They're just doing it in this really streaky fashion.
Right.
And the A's are, you know, they're not as streaky as the Giants. They're losing more than they're winning, but same sort of thing. They just can't build any momentum. You know, dropped 1-2-1 yesterday to the Mariners. A little strife in the clubhouse with Reddick coming out and criticizing the front office about how they're the ones telling Melvin that he needs to be benched against lefties because he's hitting the .150 against lefties.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then Melvin says, well, actually, that's not true. That's my decision. So there's a little bit going on there. You know, the A's are just kind of treading water, which is probably what will ultimately wind up happening.
Right.
In the All-Star nominations, and everything's out today, fan voting, reserves are all done. So it's not technically the end of the world in the American League, as the Royals only got four instead of five.
Right.
Most notably, Jose Altuve will be starting at second base.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah.
They still do get four All-Star nods. Of course, they're having a great year, so I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
The A's get two All-Stars in Stephen Vogt and Sonny Gray. I would say that Sonny Gray actually stands a good shot at starting the All-Star game right there with Dallas Keuchel in Houston. I would say one of the two of them will probably wind up starting.
Yeah, but back to I'm sorry, if we could jump back to the Altuve point. Yeah, I'm happy to see him get the nod too. I mean, I didn't think he was going to, so.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking at Infante
right
in the face.
Right.
If anything, that winds up being good press for a guy like Altuve, who doesn't get enough attention.
Right, yeah,
and he has gotten way more attention because he was almost, you know, very unceremoniously dethroned from the All-Star starting lineup.
Yeah.
So it worked out in the end, but still, All-Star voting needs to change. But yeah, Sonny Gray could get the starting nod. It's very possible. The Giants wind up taking four. Panic Crawford as reserves, second base shortstop. Bumgarner is a reserve who, you know, we're not terribly wild on Bumgarner making the All-Star team this year with his numbers are kind of, you know, just above average.
Mm-hmm, sure.
He's got like a 3-4 ERA or something after that last start. But we were saying it's the kind of thing where if Don Mattingly had been picking the reserves or the pitching staff, Clayton Kershaw probably gets on. This time he's not on. Having the same kind of, you know, middle year as Bumgarner.
Right.
But Posey is the starter, and it wasn't close, and Posey deserves to be the starter
as
catcher. So that's cool. But both teams, A's and Giants, going into the break, kind of just, you know, doing what we thought they would do, which was a little below 500 for the A's, a little above 500 for the Giants. A lot of baseball left to be played, but it's hard to make out where each team is. It's hard to see either team running away. I think the Giants have a better shot at improving themselves.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if the A's wound up over 500 this season.
Right, and we've seen the Giants do this before, too.
We have.
You know, play about 500 ball going into the All-Star break. What was it, 2010, when we were chasing the Padres, and they had a 10-game lead on us going into the All-Star break? So,
yep.
You never know, but, you know, it took a... It's kind of a lightning in the bottle type situation.
It was.
So
it was. They're going to have to get healthy, so we'll see. But All-Star game coming up in just a little bit over a week. I believe Home Run Derby will be next Monday, right?
Right.
Game on Tuesday?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Like me and Noobs talked about last week, they are screwing with the format again, which is never cool. But, Giants have the Mets coming up. We'll see.
We'll see. And Bummy is pitching 3-3-4 right now.
3-3-4. Mm-hmm. There you go. And then let's talk a little hoops here on Say Hey, a little off-season basketball, because the free agency market has been, you know, you knew it was going to be a story going in after the finals because a lot of guys out there.
Right.
And it has been. And the Warriors lock up Draymond.
Yep.
Gets a big deal, which is not surprising at all. I mean, with the salary cap increasing, everybody's going to be getting paid even more than usual.
Right, if Reggie Jackson's getting $80
million. Right. Draymond's coming back to the Warriors for the next 5 years tune of about $15 million a year, which is just about a max deal, as they call it. And other notable free agency, Marcus Aldridge to the Spurs. You knew he was leaving Portland.
Right.
But, of course, the rumor mill would want you to believe that he was going to one of the big cities.
Yeah.
Not the case. LaMarcus Aldridge is too smart for that. He's going back home to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go play for the Spurs, who are still very good. He wants to step into Tim Duncan's shoes as Duncan finishes up his NBA career.
Right.
And that's not good news for the Warriors by any means. But, frankly, as somebody that can't stand the Lakers, I'm plenty pleased with it. It doesn't bother me one bit as a fan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it does concern me as a Warriors fan. I still think that, you know, the Warriors can finish with the number one, number two seed next year and should finish among the league's best. But I think this speaks to a greater point as to the San Antonio Spurs now for, 17 years have been a powerhouse.
Yep.
And in my opinion, maybe one of, if not the best franchise in NBA history as far as the way they run their franchise.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, they have all these guys willing to take pay cuts. I mean, they picked up David West, who I think he turned down a $12 million extension or player option to take $10.5 million less and play for the minimum
right
in San Antonio. And that just speaks to, you know, that what that team's been able to do, and the fact that everyone seems to be on the same page from front office to the players, you know, and they seem to be working towards the same thing.
They are the model of this generation of NBA basketball and how you would want to be as a franchise.
Right.
And that even takes over the Lakers' successes of 15 years ago, because as we've seen, you know, that's all kind of filed out and the Lakers are headed into kind of the dark ages for their franchise.
Right, and speaking of the Lakers, I mean, this kind of speaks to, I really like that comparison because they are such they have such contrasting styles. Mm-hmm. When you have a guy like Kobe coming in, and essentially he was what led to the talks falling apart with Dwight Howard a year ago. And you have, in the Spurs case, you know, Tim Duncan going out to dinner with LaMarcus Aldridge, basically mm-hmm. saying, come here, big fellow, let me, you know, show you the ropes and take my spot. You have Tony Parker flying back from China to attend this meeting to recruit.
Right.
And it just, it's pretty incredible what they've been able to do and how everyone has just bought in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and don't look for anything to change. I mean, the Spurs are going to be right there for the coming years, mm-hmm. whether or not these guys like Duncan and Ginobili and Parker hang it up in the next couple of seasons, they're building to become the, here comes the next generation of Spurs players.
Right. I mean, with Kawhi and Aldridge, I mean, you can see they're bridging the gap now.
Yep.
And I believe Pop just came out today and said he's going to play out or coach out his extension, which I believe has 3 or 4 more years on
it. Oh, cool.
So,
right on.
Yeah, they're going to be a beast and something to be dealt yep. with and a force to be dealt with in the West for a while
yep,
now.
Yep, that Warriors-Spurs matchup in the playoffs is coming again sometime soon.
Yeah, and if we could just touch on that real quick. I've heard a lot of you know, analysts and talking heads on TV today say how now the Spurs are the hands-down favorite in the West, or, you know, a lot of people would switch and pick the Spurs. And I can see why, but I guess a part of me wonders, do you think that has to do with the Warriors, who the Warriors had to go through and the injuries they went through?
No, I think that's just A, respect for the Spurs,
sure.
and B, just the constant swinging of the media pendulum.
Right.
Like, what's the newest story?
Absolutely.
Okay, the Spurs are the number one seed. Well, what does it really matter? I mean, the West is so brutal.
Agreed.
Like, you can get knocked out in any round.
Agreed. And most likely the Warriors and Spurs are probably going to have to go head-to-head at some point.
Right.
So,
yeah,
we'll see.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then the Mavs. Look at the Mavs. They'll go out and get mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan. He says goodbye to the Clippers.
Yes.
And that's a big time move for the Mavericks. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is a legitimate difference maker.
Like, agreed.
He's the kind of player that can take you to that next level as a team. I mean, you watch how bad the Clippers can potentially be this coming season mm-hmm. with DeAndre now gone and a poor bench, and still you got Chris Paul and Blake.
Sure.
But you're pulling DeAndre out of that mix. I predict the Clippers, because now there's no other DeAndre Jordan to go out and get. Like, they're not going to have some game-changing center that's coming along. I predict the Clippers to probably have 15 to 20 fewer wins.
Wow.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying the Clippers are headed down in a big way. In a big, big way.
It's definitely a really bold prediction. But I don't disagree with it too much. I mean, you're losing your defensive stopper in the middle, the guy mm-hmm. who just swallows up boards. And, I mean, even in that first-round series against the Spurs, you saw that DeAndre gave everyone problems.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he can't shoot free throws, we all know that. He has
the highest percentage from the field because he dunks all day long.
I think 80% of his points come off dunks. And that
yeah.
will be interesting because he won't have Chris Paul creating for him.
No, he won't.
But the Mavs, their style of offense tends to lend itself to his skill set. I mean, look at what an aging Tyson Chandler has been doing there the last couple of years, you
mm-hmm.
know? So
yep.
definitely be interesting.
I say the Clip has a hard time cracking 40 wins. I say they're sub 500 next year. That's my prediction.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only hope, because I was worried about I thought that if the Warriors matched up with them, they would still win, but I did worry about the Clippers just a little bit, just
sure.
because of their athleticism.
Totally,
You know, Chris Paul is an ultimate competitor.
Lopez to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Not that makes a big difference, but, you know, it helps.
Sure.
Interesting one. Rondo signs a 1-year deal with the Kings. I'm going to ask you this. What are the odds that Rondo finishes next season as a King?
50-50?
50-50.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
How do they start that season with George Karl at the helm, Boogie Cousins, and Rondo? That seems like the most volatile mixture you could start the NBA season with.
What a joke.
And I will be tuning in to as many games as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be totally fascinating.
It's like watching a plane crash in slow motion. You don't want to watch, but you kind of have to.
Yeah, I think they gave him $10 million, and I'd be shocked if the Kings were, you know, contending for a playoff spot next year. I don't really see that happening. So do you think Rajon Rondo, who kind of likes to stir the pot, isn't going to be making noise midseason for a trade?
Right.
I mean, he's only there because he wants to have some kind of quality season where he can then sign a huge deal
exactly
in the next year of free agency. I mean, this is a rent-a-player thing, essentially.
Right, and I mean, you got to really question someone's motives who doesn't want to play on a playoff team and then signs with the Kings.
Right.
You know, if you can't get along with Rick Carlisle, who by all accounts is a player's coach.
Right.
And Doc Rivers.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Good luck, George Karl. That's going to be fascinating
season. I can't imagine how George Karl is still the coach. Like, it doesn't, if you're going to keep him and Cousins on the same team. How does that work right now?
I mean, Boogie Cousins is sending out those tweets. I know you guys touched on this a little bit. I believe it was on last week's show or maybe the week before. But, I mean, that's just the chemistry in that locker room. To be a fly on the wall, huh?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Truly brutal. And then I want to give a nod before we head out here with Peace Talks Radio coming up to my Raiders fans friends who would appreciate this. I had a buddy in Tahoe this past week, and I put money on the Raiders because their over-under for wins is 5.5.
Nice.
And they are going to win more than 5 games.
I agree. I think they'll be about 800.
I think they're going to possibly be 9-7.
I meant 500, 800. I know pretty aggressive.
Yeah. that's my prediction, and I think if you are the I'm not really the betting type. You know, I'm placing $20 bets when a friend goes to Tahoe for the weekend. But if you like to bet, that's a good bet.
I agree.
It's not going to win you a ton of money, but put your money on the Raiders on the over on the season win total.
That's a sneaky good pick.
It's a sneaky good pick. and that's weird that I'll kind of be rooting for the Raiders, but I don't have a problem. I don't have that bad thing with the Raiders that I do with other sports franchises. They really don't bother me that much, to tell
you
the truth.
It's a weird animosity between Raiders and Niners fans. I don't really understand it at all.
No, I mean, it's just territorial nonsense.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, it's more fun to me when the Raiders are good because their games are going to be on television either way.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well watch a good team.
Exactly.
But they haven't been good in a long time. So we'll see. Jarrow, thank you for stepping in today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Noobs on the Men. We're going to do some underwriting to take you out for the next hour and a half. Say Hey, of course, is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, and Jewel Rhodes, LLP, specializing in civil litigation with an emphasis in personal injury and real property litigation. Serving the community since 1896, the law firm is located at 414 Salem Street in downtown Chico, and the telephone number is 342-3593. We don't want to forget the Pita Pit. They always hook us up during pledge drive. Locally owned and operated in downtown Chico at 240 Broadway since 2004, the Pita Pit features a variety of fresh Mediterranean, Greek, and American foods, including pita wraps, falafels, gyros, and deli favorites, all made to order. Pita Pit is open 7 days a week with catering and delivery available by calling 899-2847. And last but not least, we want to thank Friends of the Arts, a state local partner of the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. Thanks again, Jarrow, and we're going to send you out with Peace Talks Radio. And LeShow will be following up that. So stick around. We got much more on the way. This is KZFR.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm Peace Talks Radio producer Paul Ingalls with Carol Boss. Whether it's the search for inner peace or learning how to resolve conflicts we have with others in our families, workplaces, communities, or between nations, we consider it here on Peace Talks Radio. Palestinian Shwana Galeb from Jenin City on the West Bank is 22 years old now, but she can never forget what happened to her as a child when she came face to face with the Israeli military presence.
I was in fifth grade and it was curfew in my city. And I wasn't know that it's curfew. I was going to my school and wearing my school bag. And suddenly I saw a tank out of my house, and the soldier started calling me, and he told me that it's curfew, why are you here? And he put the gun on my head. And I was so little child, I didn't even understand what's going on. So I think this moment really affected my life and make me always feel that I won't really